hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening. We thank God for another Saturday evening. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. We thank God for a beautiful week, being with us throughout the week. And we have the weekend, a long weekend, and it's always a pleasure to come your way. Last week I started an interesting talk or topic, and I'll be continuing tonight. But first, after the news, and then after the news I'll get into it. You know, we sometimes have to remind ourselves of the realities of the Christian life, and it's important we keep reviewing our walk with the Lord, pair the standards of the Word of God. Greetings to listeners outside Kumasi and outside the country, wherever you are. Thank you for tuning in online. And unfortunately, last week's file, just as I was uploading this evening, I should have done it over the week, in the course of the week, but I forgot. And the lights went off while I was just doing it at home. So I'll do it together with tonight's edition. I'll upload both last week's and tonight's together to spiritissues.info. And I believe, yeah, that'll be how we go about it. All right. So first, let's look into some of the news happening in the world. You know, Sudan is already boiling. I saw a video today and it's very horrific how they are treating foreigners. You ask yourself, are these human beings or there are some animals who have been released into the system just beating foreigners? I mean, the father someone is a foreigner. It's just serious. And, you know, that all these are the things the world is experiencing. Evil, you know, the love of many, growing cold, people are heartless, all sorts of things happening in the world now. Wars, rumors of wars, you know. Suddenly, you just have a country, well, not 100% at peace, though, but suddenly two factions of the military and then the paramilitary just, you know, power play now. Several hundreds dead. There's no end in sight. And, you know, that's how the world is. Chaos here, confusion here, this, there, this, that. Oh, we'll be hearing more of these things. And then let's look at, you know, so it's the same Sudan. We have this pastor and three other Christians killed by Islamic extremists in pre-dawn attack. A church pastor and three other Christians were killed in Sudan on Monday when suspected Islamic extremists shot them to death, according to an area source. You know, and that's what happens. When it happens like this, then people just take advantage to do all the absurd things against people that they've targeted. You know, Sudanese Christians express shock and sympathy for the victims or the families on social media. You know, and already Christians are not having it easy there, and this has also opened the floodgates. Oh, and to Nigeria, you know, the issue just gets worse and worse every week. 18 Christians killed, pastor wounded by extremists in Nigeria. In 11 days of attacks through Wednesday, Fulani herdsmen killed 18 people and wounded others in predominantly Christian villages of Plateau State, according to sources in Nigeria. The herdsmen attacked 11 communities in the Jos South area in Jos, southern part of Jos. And then three Christians in Dawad village were wounded in the attacks as they worked on their farms on Wednesday. But then the worrying one is the Islamic State of West Africa, the terrorist group too. They killed 134 Christians. And this is also serious. This is in Benue State. And 134, that's really, this happened earlier in the month. But you see, sometimes some of these places are remote. So before the reports will get to the NGOs and all that, before it gets to the news networks, 134. That's really outrageous. The saddest part of it all is the government doesn't care. I mean, it's baffling how the government behaves. It's serious. It's like very little effort on the side of the government regarding these things. And that's why sometimes it's worrying when you see how the complicity of government with these forces makes the whole thing, they become more empowered because they know nothing will happen to them. They know nothing will happen to them. But then we go to the U.S., the modern day Babylon. And it's serious. Before I get into the news, you know, it's amazing how you see once a beautiful country just go down in every form, in any shape. America is just, you look at some of the news and you ask yourself, so are these people normal human beings? What has come over them? And it's like, it's normal. I mean, something, you watch some of the news or you watch some of the reports and you listen to people talk and it's like, why? So is this person too a normal human being after 9 months in the womb? And it's like, clearly you see that demons are in charge. Demons are manipulating people to do and to act in various ways. We have Minnesota. The state of Minnesota becomes a sanctuary state for sex change surgeries for children. So children in other states that they have restrictions, they can come there and freely change their gender through surgery. And see, for those who have no idea of how those surgeries are, it's really the extreme medical madness, let me put it that way. They are changing cutting the genitals in some instances. Then for the male or for the men, they turn it in to create the female system. All sorts of absurdities is happening. Girls are having their breasts being cut out so that they can look like boys. Then they are giving all sorts of chemicals, hormonal chemicals and all that to change their hormones, the balance levels. All these things are happening. And this state is so glad, the governor so happy when he signed it. And you ask yourself, so you are happy that children are going to be destroyed? I mean, how would a normal adult feel happy about this? But this is what's happening. So Minnesota Governor Tim Walz has signed into law separate measures to protect abortion providers in the state and allow chemical and surgical castration and other body mutilating procedures to be performed on minors who are confused. I mean, that's where the worry is. Because these children are clearly confused. Instead of giving them psychological help, rather you are even encouraging their confusion and worsening it by affirming it through surgery. And they finish and then they become even more confused, suicidal, some kill themselves. And then you see, the devil is just too busy working now. Because he knows that if nothing happens, and you're able to get a child on this path of destruction, hell is the ultimate. If nothing happens, by the grace, something happens, then they are saved. But it's more of like the devil is seeing it as a sure way to get these children to go to hell by ensuring they are confused. In the state of their confusion, you know, suicidal thoughts come in, and it's happening. Suicide rates are going up regarding this state of confused people, children questioning their gender. And I keep asking, who taught these children these things? It's the same, it's adults. Demonic adults who are bent on destroying God's children. And the system has allowed it, so that's how it is. It's happening. So Minnesota now, so the governor says, people seeking or providing abortions in Minnesota and access to gender-affirming health care, whilst also banning the harmful practice of conversion therapy. The term conversion therapy often also includes counseling for unwanted same-sex attraction. So in other words, a church is also barred or stopped from, restricted from counseling someone out of this state of confusion. So the state is making it even more difficult for you to come out of your confusion. Rather, they are encouraging you to get the easier way out, quote unquote, easier way out. That is the surgery. So they give you the chemicals, put you on a table, cut parts of your body, mutilate you to change your gender to what you think you want to be. Oh, America. But it doesn't end there. Another school. You have a school in Vermont. The headline says they've scrapped male and female terms in their sex education curriculum for the sake of equity. So a Vermont school has drawn the anger of parental groups after it sent fifth grade students home with a letter informing parents that it would refrain from using gendered terms like boy and girl during sex education lessons to advance the cause of equity. Parents Defending Education, which describes itself as a national grassroots organization working to reclaim our schools from activists imposing harmful agenda, shared a letter sent home to the parents of fifth grade students at Founders Memorial School in Essex Westford School District in Essex Junction on Tuesday. The letter, authored by the Founders Memorial School principal Sarah Jabkonski on April 20th, announced that students will be studying puberty and human reproductive systems during the final months of the school year in an effort to align with our curriculum and the equity policy. Teachers will be using gender-inclusive language throughout this unit, she wrote. With any differences, we strive to use first-person language as best practices. So it's like the word boy and girl is now becoming outlawed. I mean, I a few weeks ago, there was this, 3 weeks or so ago, yeah, when I was in Accra, there's this news I saw of a teacher who went to the class, a girl's school, a rich class, a rich girl's school, greeted the children, you know, good afternoon class. And because of this, she has been sacked from the school for greeting the girls good afternoon class. Because someone took an offense in the class, so reported the teacher for greeting the girls good afternoon girls. I mean, so the school forced her to apologize to the girls for calling them girls, and after that she was fired. This is the absurdity we are finding ourselves in the world now, and it's as if there's a certain wind of madness that is blowing over the Western world. At least for now, Africa, we are safe from this particular aspect of it. You know, I saw this Ghanaian pastor in the US, a video, I'm sure maybe some of you might have seen it. He was at a school board meeting in the US, I don't know which state, and he's complaining of the fact that when the child was sick in terms of the headache or whatever, sick, the school called him that he should come and even give the medicine to the child himself. You know, and I know in the US that's the issue. You can't dispense medication, paracetamol, I mean, whether painkiller or whatever, I mean, to a child without the parents' consent, because it can easily be sealed. You give it without the parents' consent and something happens, allergy or whatever. But then this same school is helping children to change the agenda without the parents' consent. I mean, this is where you see the absurdity, because health is health. But when it's about health, your head, your stomach, you are sick, you don't feel well, that one, the parents will be called immediately to alert them that your child is not well. Will you want to come and pick the child to the hospital, or will you come treat, medication is there, whatever. But the bigger health issue of changing the gender, really altering the biology of that child, that one, the school sees it as a private matter, so they won't inform the parents. So they can go ahead and help the child to alter their bodies, their gender, their genitals, without parental consent. I mean, so the man was really furious at the meeting. But this is the world. I mean, this is America now. You see, the reason why it's disturbing is America sets the standard for a lot of things for other countries to follow. By virtue of their power, as their power is even waning, is reducing drastically, very fast. They use that leverage to push on other countries to also do these things. I mean, we've seen it. They go to any meeting, I mean, instead of going to talk about real things that matter in life, I mean, minerals or finances and economic stability and real issues that really bother human beings and their livelihoods, they will go and the first thing they are addressing is they are talking of LGBT. I mean, come on, you ask yourself, are these people for real? But that's the world. I mean, they see sin as a standard. So everybody should also be sinning like they are sinning. And everybody should open the floodgates to allow these things in their country. It's so unfortunate, but that's how bad it's going. They are pushing it. They are pushing it. You know, this week I saw 19 other countries want to join the BRICS, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, their currency. You know, they are building their own economic block. I talked about it the other time, to rival the dollar, to crash the dollar. Now 19 countries want to join. I mean, when I saw the news this week, I said, the dollar is in trouble. It's just a matter of time. The dollar is going to... You see, and America's power is the dollar. Once the dollar goes down, America is finished. And now the signals are really clear. I mean, it's just a matter of time. Because the BRICS nations, if they are to get 19 more nations who are economically also important in the world to join them, then in essence it means all these powerful nations are ditching the dollar. The relevance of the dollar then goes even further lower. You see, so America can ride on their pride of being a superpower in quotes, financial, whatever. But the issue is the whole American economy is even running on debts upon debts, several trillions of dollars, because they just print their dollars themselves. When they need money, they just print it. I mean, for how long can you go this way? And that's the struggle they are in. You see, so they think they are wise, but you see, you cannot be poking your fingers in the eyes of God forever and nothing will happen. No. You think you are smarter than God, you can insult God and do whatever you want. It will not be on forever. But at least there is one piece of good news in the same America. At least let me finish with them on that. Texas Senate passes bill requiring public school or public classrooms to display the Ten Commandments. And lawmakers in Texas have advanced two pieces of legislation requiring public schools for prominently display the Ten Commandments in every classroom and allow school districts to set aside time for students to pray and read religious texts. Last Thursday, the state senate approved SB 1515, introduced by Republican Senator Phil King. If passed by the House of Representatives, it will require Texas public elementary and secondary schools to display the Ten Commandments in each classroom. In its current form, the SB 1515 amends current law relating to how the Ten Commandments are displayed in public schools. And yeah, I just believe Texas is there to eventually pass, and the governor will readily sign, because he is a pro Bible. So, you know, it seems now the U.S., you have just two states where common sense is really functioning. I mean, in the real sense of standing to, you know, against this LGBT and all these things. You know, Florida, Texas, and a few more. But these two are the prominent ones. But you see, it's worrying, because you look at the standards, how children are virtually being destroyed, intentionally being destroyed. You look at the UK, the same thing. Norway, Norway's own cry is something else. I mean, I saw a parent complaining about the assignment they've given to the child, and they fix the day, a particular day that every child is dressing the opposite way. So, a nice way of introducing them to transgender. And you cannot exempt yourself, because you see, in Norway, you have this system where all the basic education is free. So, and they have a very strict system where you can easily lose your child. The government can easily take your child if they really have cases against you, or you are doing this, you are doing that against your child is not happy. They have all sorts of things. They can easily file cases, and government will take over your children. So parents are sometimes, your hands are tied, and you just watch these things. And I remember having a chat with a friend and said that, he would gladly rather bring up his children in Ghana, irrespective of education system, which has turned its head upside down, than to take the children out there. Though they qualify to be there, they are born outside and all, but looking at what is happening now, it's a real danger to really take the children out to educate them there, because what is the essence of, the whole essence of taking your child out to be educated is for quality education. But when now the education is full of brainwashing, being brainwashed to be destroyed, if care is not taken, to even lose your salvation as a child, your Christian values being questioned and all that, what's the essence of it? What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose the soul? If you get a good education and you lose your salvation, then what's the use? I was really glad when she told me that, because a lot of people are caught in this, we take their children outside, as if, some heaven be that you are taking your children to go and study. But if you really know the poison that they are being poisoned, it really begs the question, is it really worth it? I would say no. Then we get into the church. This banner group, they do a lot of surveys in the U.S. But I keep saying a lot of these surveys are fit for purpose, even here, if we are to do some of those scientific surveys here. I don't think the variations will be that much. It's a bit worrying because, when I finish, you'll understand why I'm saying so. Majority of pastors, that's the headline, majority of pastors love to preach, but few like counseling and discipling believers. And this is why I say it's worrying, because, anyway, let me finish and then I talk more. While the majority of Protestant senior pastors overwhelmingly rank preaching and teaching from the pulpit as the favorite part of their job, they are less likely to enjoy other critical responsibilities of the role as much, such as discipling, counseling, evangelizing, developing leaders, or visiting the sick and elderly. New data from Banner Group shows. I believe you can understand where I'm heading, because the things they don't like to do are even the same things that Jesus said we should do. So, you just wonder, scratch your head, it's like, what's happening? The data collected through online interviews with 585 Protestant senior pastors in the United States last September shows that 60% of the respondents chose preaching and teaching when asked which part of their job they most enjoy. For every other activity, including discipling and evangelizing, less than 10% of the pastors in the study ranked these critical aspects of their job as among their favorite things to do. Banner an evangelical polling organization, included the data in an excerpt from its new Resilient Pastor series. Just 8% of senior pastors said they most enjoy discipling believers, whilst developing other leaders and practical pastoral care for congregants, like visiting the sick or elderly, were tied for third place with 7% of the votes each. 6% said emotional and spiritual pastoral care, like counseling, was their favorite part of the job, whilst 4% ranked organizing meetings or events as their favorite activity. Only 3% ranked, quote, evangelizing or sharing the gospel as their top thing for them to do as pastors. Let me repeat. Only 3%. 3% ranked evangelizing or sharing the gospel as their top thing for them to do as pastors. I mean, this speaks a lot. Carrie Newhoff, a former lawyer and founding pastor of Connexus Church in Ontario, argued in the recent report that the church today is getting discipleship wrong and that the concept of discipleship has lost its original meaning. It's true. I agree. Discipleship is the refining process by which a Christian becomes more like Jesus in their day-to-day life, Newhoff wrote. We make disciples by encouraging other people to follow Christ's example set forth in Scripture. It's not a formula or step-by-step plan. Eugene Peterson referred to discipleship as a long obedience in the same direction. Newhoff shared what he considers 7 truths about authentic discipleship, including that discipleship is linked to evangelism and that you can't be a disciple without being an evangelist. Barnes data shows how between 2015 and 2020, pastors across the nation grew more insecure about what they believe they have to offer to their communities through growth in their perceived gaps in training for their roles. In 2015, for example, 27% of pastors wished they would be better prepared to handle conflict. That figure increased to 40% in 2020. Over the same period, the share of pastors who wished they were better prepared to delegate and train others doubled from 20% to 41%. The percentage of pastors who said they wish they were better prepared to handle church politics also increased from 16% to 36% over the same period. Results from Lifeway Research Survey published in 2021 cited church conflict as the second leading reason behind a change in calling. 15% of black and evangelical pastors gave for walking away from their profession in the last decade. The impact of the pandemic may be most noticeable in pastors' increased agreement that the role of being a pastor is frequently overwhelming, which jumped from 54% in 2015 to 63% today. Scott McConnell, executive director of Lifeway Research, said in a statement on the study, but there has also been a shift in how some pastors think about their work. Fewer pastors agree they must be on call 24 hours a day, declining from 84% to 71%. Perhaps even more telling, the majority of pastors, 51%, strongly agreed with this expectation in 2015, while only a third, 34%, strongly feel this obligation today. Wow. You know, if you read Matthew 28:19, different versions. Okay, let me read this Derby version. I like the way he puts it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Make disciples. If Jesus says you should go and make disciples, and you have majority of pastors saying that they don't consider that as an important thing in their calling or their mission or their mandate, then there's a big problem, because something that they themselves are not interested in obviously will not be addressed from the pulpit. Neither would the church be interested in organizing it. Neither would the church be encouraging the few who may even want to do it. And that really shows the state of the church today. You know, it's as if evangelism, discipleship, all these things are some dead acts that used to Now it's no longer, we've progressed, we've advanced, we are rich. Now we don't need these things again. We are comfortable with our numbers. We are bigger. We have bigger auditoriums. We are seeking to have more beautiful auditoriums, better equipment, you know, sound quality enhanced. We are busy ensuring that we have good presence on social media, in the media. You know, these are priorities now. These are the priorities of most churches these days. Like, go ye there, go ye out, go evangelism. No. Those things are long gone. It's like nobody thinks about it, nobody talks about it. I keep citing this example of a pastor friend who he has equipment for, you know, doing small mini crusades here and there sometimes. And this happened in Tema, where a youth group in a particular church wanted to go and do outdoor crusade. They went to the church, requested for equipment and all that. And the church gave them the feedback that, okay, they'll be given the equipment to go and do the crusade based on the condition that they have to bring a returns. So, like, do again. God help mercy on your church. Oh. They were given a budget line, not in terms of how much they should spend, but how much they should bring. It's like investment. So, if we are giving you the equipment, you go and do the crusade, bring in, we expect you to bring like investment, so dividend that you have to bring from the offerings that you'll be making from the crusade. And I mean, the youth were so confused, disappointed in their church leadership. So they talked to this friend of mine and he gave them his equipment to go and use for free. And you see, it tells you the state of the church. We've lost it. Our passion for the lost, we don't care. And if you have some zealous youth in your church who want to go and win souls, and you are rather giving them a quota of how much money they should bring from a crusade, this is sickening. I mean, how low can we get with our money, craze for money in everything? I mean, who thinks of making money from a crusade? Why? I mean, the fact that you are thinking of making money from a crusade means your heart is, I mean, let me put it bluntly, your heart is evil. Because why would you want to make profits off a crusade in the first place? Why? Why should it be so? Why should Christians be interested in making money off a crusade? Because you are not even doing it. And those who want to do it, instead of encouraging them, you are rather discouraging them. This is the church today. You know, Christianity needs to be assessed. I mean, that's what I'm talking about it. I mean, along these, yes, last week I started talking about it. But I'll be back after this break. I'm Eben. The program is Issues of Life, the station Spirit 88.3 FM.
Another conversation in heaven.
Wow, this place is really nice. I wish I would have brought my camera.
You must be new here.
And am I glad to be here. Hi, I'm Bob.
I'm Bartholomew. So what was it like serving our Lord during your day?
Oh, it was tough. People really frowned on you if you talked about Jesus.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Guys laughed at me if I said grace at lunch.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
You're telling me, and I really got ridiculed for bringing a Bible to work.
You held the scriptures in your hands?
Well, in my day, they put a Bible in every motel room.
God's word was that common, and still his followers were persecuted.
Oh, yeah. I really got thrown to the lions.
They still use lions in your day?
God has given us blessings and freedoms unheard of in previous generations. Many Christians have paid dearly for their faith. How much has your faith cost you lately? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
What a glorious night to be able to sing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord.
We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those are lost. And sometimes it just isn't easy bearing Calvary's cross. Listen, we've been ridiculed by those who don't know Him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that He's done for me. And that's why I am not ashamed of the gospel. Never say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the one who's been so faithful to me. I'm not out to please this whole world.
The gospel of Jesus. So you want to get to I-5, huh?
Ever get lost?
Well, go down this road a piece and turn right. Shouldn't matter where. It's all open field.
If you're looking for heaven, Jesus said he came from heaven.
Next, I think you turn right at a filling station.
For directions to heaven, who are you listening to? Someone who thinks they know the way?
Then I think there's a farm or something.
Or someone who's been there. Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, and lifelinepro.com.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful song by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. I'm not ashamed. No, I just love the lyrics of the song. One of those old-time beautiful Brooklyn songs. We are an anchor for those who are hurting. We are a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's just not easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know him and mocked by those who don't believe. Still, I love standing up for my Jesus because of all that he's done for me. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all he wants me to be. Give up the wrong for the right. Oh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For every moment his hand has held mercy, for all the love he's shown in my life. A simple thanks could never say how I am feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the one who's been so faithful to me. I'm not out to please this whole world around me. Oh, I've got my mind on eternity. I like that one. I've got my mind on eternity. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all he wants me to be, giving up the wrong for the right. Oh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got so much behind me to let this world blind me. To some, he's a name, but to me, he's my everything. Oh, I'm not ashamed. No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I've got too much behind me to let this world blind me. Maybe to some, he's just a name, but to me, he's my everything. Is Jesus your everything this evening as you listen to Issues of Life this evening? You know, these songs really challenges, you know, your faith when you really listen to the lyrics well. These are Bible-based songs that really stirs up your faith. And the reason why we need these type of songs is the type of Christianity we are seeing these days where, you know, the love of many is beginning to wax cold. I mean, believe it or not, that's the reality. We are reaching a point where, and see, the amazing thing is, we've not even peaked at the point where the real love of many going cold that Jesus was talking about. We've not reached that point. Because that one will be necessitated by a lot of, I mean, difficult conditions. Let me quickly get into Matthew 24. Matthew 24. I mean, these are common scriptures by now. A lot of people are very much aware of. Yeah. Because of time, I'm just quickly glancing through to get to. Okay, let's start from the 8. All these are the beginning of sorrow. So it talks of wars, famine, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. So verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. This verse 9 is just at the beginning stage. I mean, it's not reached that point where Christians are hated everywhere in the world. Jews are hated everywhere in the world. There's complete hatred where you are attacked for your faith everywhere. It's beginning in some places, but we've not reached the whole world state. So it's not been fully fulfilled. It's still in the early stages. Verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Also in the early stages. 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. This is still progressing. Still in the numbers, but we've still not reached the peak yet. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You see, so the conditions will really push the Christians to the point where the love of many will grow cold or wax cold. But we've not reached that point. But in as much as we've not reached that point yet, we are already seeing symptoms of it. The love of many believers waxing cold. People are being cold in their faith. You know, the most difficult thing about being cold spiritually or spiritual coldness is you think you are fine, but in reality you are not fine. And sometimes, like, someone will go to hospital, I don't feel too good. So, but you see, it's a doctor that can diagnose your situation based on the symptoms you are exhibiting and all that. Let's read Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. This letter is also, you know, the Church of Ephesus, where it says that, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. A lot of believers, we've left our first love. We've left our first love. We used to be more serious than we are today. We used to be more active before COVID than post-COVID. We used to be more prayerful before COVID than now. I mean, we are just not... We don't feel, you know, that zeal is no longer there. A lot of believers are down spiritually. Yes, we call ourselves Christians. Who are the believers here? Oh, yes, we are believers. But the power behind it, the struggle, our lifestyle, the daily living for Christ, is not there. It's like we tickle ourselves that we are believers. Well, once in a while, we struggle to go and pass through a church. Or we monitor a few sermons online or radio, TV. You know, we are forcing ourselves to feel relevant as Christians. But in reality, if we are to really be sincere to ourselves, something is not right. That's the state of most believers these days, or number of believers these days. The struggle is real. You know, verse 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. We need repentance. I mean, we can't beat around the bush forever. We need to get to a point where we say that enough is enough. I know I'm not really living as I should. You know, your prayer life has tanked so low. Now, to really pray is a struggle. It's a real struggle. You take your Bible, just don't know what to read, just flip a few pages. Just, it's a struggle to really live the Christian life. And, you know, I like the way 1 Corinthians puts it. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5,2 Corinthians 13 5. It talks about we examining ourselves. So 13:5, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. You know, so this examination, your pastor can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Self-examination. We need to examine ourselves. Are we still in the faith? Or is your love growing cold? Has it already gone cold? You see, we need to push ourselves, examine ourselves, question ourselves, because the wind that is blowing now, I mean, it's like, you know, maybe, okay, winter, cold weather is, yeah, it can, I mean, we don't have winter here, but for those who have not experienced it before, maybe just liken it to a very cold morning. You know, there are some mornings, you know, I go out almost every morning, you know, for walking a little and some little jogging, keep fit a little. Most mornings, about 90% of my mornings, I do. And when the weather is really cold, sometimes you step out and it's like, whoa, this one cries, it by force. I mean, who is paying? I mean, it's like, people are in bed and you are out here and it's like the whole weather is against you. You really feel the coldness. You know that something, you can feel it. But you know, the wind that is blowing is such that if you are not really committed, the word committed, you go back home, go and cover yourself and be in bed. But because there's a commitment that you want to really exercise yourself, I brace on irrespective of the coldness. And the only times I turn is maybe then it starts drizzling, and of course then one day I won't run in the rain, so I go back. But if there's no drizzling, then I brace on and I still go. But you see, it's the wind that is blowing in the world now, the spiritual wind in this case. I'm just likening it to the cold weather. The spiritual wind blowing now is so strong that if you are not well grounded, it will cause you to lose your love for the Lord. Your prayer life will be drowned. Your Bible study will sink. Your whole Christian life will just... You see, the devil doesn't really desire that you completely turn against Christ. No, I mean, you know, he's a master strategist. So he won't come and then completely cry. Now you are seriously anti-God, insulting Christians, burning your Bible. No. He's not pushing you to that level. No. He's very gentle in his approach. A little at a time. One step at a time. So you used to pray for 2 hours. Now you've been able to manage it to bring some 20 minutes. I mean, he's okay with it. He's still encouraging you. Oh, yeah, it's fine. 20. So keep it up. It's okay. See, because he knows if you can drop from 2 hours to 20 minutes, then he can eventually cause you to drop from 20 minutes to 2 minutes. Then from 2 minutes to 2 seconds, and eventually you stop praying completely. You used to really take time, study the word, read this, pray, meditate on the word. Now, you just take one verse in the morning, you run with it, and that is good enough. The devil is okay with it because he knows it's just a matter of time. The wind is still blowing anyway, so it's just a matter of time. You feel so cold that you even stop reading it altogether. That's what is happening. I'm giving you a spiritual state, trying to give you a picture of what is happening. Imagine it from that angle. You see, so we shouldn't be comfortable in our state of lukewarmness or in our state of coldness now. It should be a real issue of worry to us, because it's a process of going downhill at a fast rate or at a slow rate, depending on how your movement is. But the ultimate end point is you leave the faith. And you see, the reason why we should be careful about it is the fact that Jesus said in Matthew 24, the 12, the love of many. That means majority of the believers, their love is going to wax cold in difficult times. Many is, of course, English. Many is many. Majority. You see, so if there is such a prophecy, then you have to ensure that we do everything possible to align ourselves to be with the few whose love will be intact in the last days. Because, you see, it's not going to be easy to really stand in the last days. That's why the love of many will grow cold. And if we've not reached the extreme point yet, but even at the early stages of these times, the love of people are already going cold, then what happens when the real heat is turned on? Last week I was talking about the fact that what happens when churches are closed, COVID, just 3 months, people backslided, you know, people left their faith, you know, some churches closed permanently, some pastors left their faith. Oh yes, that's the reality. It's amazing, but that's the, these things have happened. Not only in Ghana, elsewhere. I mean, so it looked like, oh, it's just 3 months. But the 3 months, some couldn't stand. Yes, some believers couldn't stand. So what if, last week I was saying the same thing, what if it's extended? A new legal framework comes, or whatever, from whichever new pandemic comes, and then now they say, okay, churches shouldn't meet again. A new law from the government. You know, and governments, based on what we saw during the COVID and the measures the president signed and all that, they should know that anything is possible. I mean, it's just a matter of time. If the WHO says that because of these conditions, so countries should ban all public gatherings such as churches and this and this and that, I mean, our government will easily sign it, and president will easily sign it. He won't hesitate at all. So, you see, some of these things, we shouldn't think like, oh, it's not possible. Oh, no, no, it's very possible. It just has to come from a certain angle, and it will be implemented freely. It will be done. So, if they say for 1 year churches shouldn't meet, can you stand? Can your faith, can you be able to withstand on your own, or your little family be able to keep the fire burning consistently? You see, so we need to really examine ourselves. Yeah, sometimes the Christian journey becomes difficult. It can be, you know, sometimes we struggle with prayer. I mean, we struggle with our Bible reading. But, you know, when you experience those down times, you shouldn't be okay with that low period. You quickly have to encourage yourself, examine yourself, then do what you have to do, quicken yourself, and get back on track. It's just like someone running, let's say a marathon, you are running and then you fall into some mud water or something. Will you lie in the water and be okay with it, comfortable, enjoying the water? No, you get up, shake yourself, and continue. You see, so that's what we should be doing. Let's shake ourselves from the coldness and then encourage ourselves and get back on track. That's the least we can do. Because if we really look at the way the world is going, we just cannot say that, oh, we'll be comfortable in our lukewarmness. We have to encourage ourselves. We have to encourage ourselves and continue the race. God willing, next week I'll be continuing on this discussion. This will be uploaded to the website spiritissues.info and the Telegram group Spirit Issues. I'm Eben, and God bless you. Let me repeat the song and ask the few minutes left for the program. So good night, and God bless you.
What a glorious night to be able to sing about the gospel of Jesus Christ.